distracting people.
Well, good morning, church family. Can everybody hear me okay? All right. Well, like Max said, I'm going to be preaching on the parable of the four soils this morning. And like Max said, it's a very popular verse or parable. Everyone's read it many times. And as I read it and was preparing for today's sermon, it was one that was it was challenging to come up with something new, something that, you know, nobody's heard before or thought of before. And I'm not sure that I did a real great job of that, but we'll see. So anyway, this is Okanagan Valley. We have, you know, the Werners, the Fowlers. Fowlers love to garden. Werners have orchards. Many of you here like to garden or have orchards and stuff. And that's just something that a lot of you like to do. You know, myself, I like house plants, patio plants, things like that. I'm not much of a gardener. But so that's kind of where this sermon is going today. And the title of the sermon is How Is Your Dirt? So we're going to be looking at Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. And it's the parable of four soils. So I'm going to read the whole 1 through 9, verses 1 through 9 to begin with, so we can kind of get an idea of what we're talking about. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out in the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell along rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered, because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still, others fell among good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, and some 100 times. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." So, as we look at this, there's a few different ways of looking at this parable. And as we go through it, I want you to keep an open mind and not just... Well, first of all, you might have already come to the conclusions that we're going to talk about today. Maybe you haven't. If you haven't, I want you to keep an open mind about what we discuss here today, and maybe that what we're going to discuss is something new to you, something you've never heard before. Whatever it is you decide to plant in your garden, it won't grow unless you have a healthy soil. A gardener spends a lot of time, energy, and expense to improve the soil of their garden and create a strong, rich, and durable soil. They do this by adding compost, manure, and other nutrients to the soil in order to create an environment that is conducive to vibrant growth. Creating a truly great soil can take years, but by laying down a strong foundation, it will be much more likely that the garden will yield a beautiful, strong crop. Gardeners know they they reap what they will sow. If I may use Fred and Linda as an example again, they know that if they want to plant tomatoes, they're not going to plant pumpkin seeds. They know they're going to get pumpkins. So we don't want to plant what we don't want. We don't want poisonous things in our life. We should stay away from those poisonous things. Many people take a look at their lives and don't like what they see. And many people don't think that those things in their lives are not their fault. But again, we reap what we sow. If we don't like what we see, we need to get rid of it. Today, I will attempt to explain the meaning of the parable of the sower, which is one of the most famous stories told by Jesus in the Bible. The parable is about a farmer who sows seeds on different kinds of soil, and how each soil represents a different response to God's word or different kinds of hearts that people might have. The sower or farmer is us. So the first soil is a hard ground by the road where the seeds cannot penetrate and are eaten by the birds. This soil symbolizes people who hear God's word but do not understand it or can accept it. They are hardened by sin and Satan, who snatches away the message from their hearts. The second soil is rocky ground, okay, where the seeds sprout quickly, but soon wither because they have no root. This soil represents people who receive God's word with joy, but have no depth or commitment. They're easily influenced by troubles and temptations, and they fall away from their faith when their faith is tested. The third soil is a thorny ground where the seeds grow but are choked by weeds. This soil stands for people who hear God's word but are distracted by worldly worries, pleasures, and riches. They are divided by their loyalty and do not bear the fruit of God. And finally, the fourth soil is good ground, where the seeds produce a bountiful harvest. This soil illustrates people who hear God's word, understand it, and obey it. They are faithful and fruitful, and they multiply God's kingdom. The parable of the soil teaches us that God's word is like a seed that can grow in our hearts and lives, but we need to prepare our hearts to receive it and mature it. We need to avoid being hard, shallow, or distracted, and instead be open, deep, and focused on God. Only then can we bear fruit for His glory. So, let's get planting. Verse 3 says, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed." Verse 4, as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Verse 5, some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. In the parable shared by Jesus, we are represented with a thoughtful illustration of a farmer who embarked on a significant endeavor of sowing seeds. Although this scenario may initially appear straightforward, closer examination shows its implications exceed simple agricultural activities. The farmer symbolizes humanity itself. It is within this context that we shall look further. So let's look at verse 4. This is where we find the farmer. In his efforts, scattered seeds along the path. Okay? Only to have them eaten up by the birds. This imagery carries a profound message that resonates with our own lives. It represents the plight of the hard-hearted individuals we encounter in our journeys. These individuals may hear the teachings of Jesus and the Word of God from ourselves or others, but due to the presence of sin or perhaps the stubborn heart, they consciously choose to reject these messages. Each of us has undoubtedly encountered an individual at some point in our lives, maybe a family member, a close friend, a coworker, or even just a stranger on the street. Personally, I have witnessed and experienced firsthand the effects of such hardness of heart. One of my closest friends, somebody I dearly love, has displayed this type of characteristic. And I must confess that at one time in my own life, I too possessed the same hardened heart. For the majority of my existence, the profound and loving words concerning God's grace and compassion spoken to me by my friends and family fell upon deaf ears. I was unwilling to open my heart to receive such truths. While I did hear their words, I simply did not care to embrace them. Like I said, many of you possess a fondness for gardening. And our church community and our community in general are full of individuals who take pleasure in farming and orchard cultivation. It is through these pursuits that we can come to understand, even at a basic level, the qualities that define good and bad soil. So what if we encounter the unfortunate circumstances of having soil that is less than ideal? In such instances, we must diligently invest our efforts in nurturing and enriching the soil with love and compassion, creating an environment conducive to the growth of our plants. Jesus thought the parable of the farmer sowing seeds imparts valuable lessons that extend far beyond the boundaries of farming. He teaches us about the hardships faced by those with hardened hearts. The challenges encountered in conveying the messages of Christ's love and the need by cultivating an environment of love, compassion, and spiritual growth. By reflecting on these profound truths, we gain insight into our lives and the lives of those around us, allowing us to navigate the complexities of human interaction with faith or with grace and understanding. So, do we have a green thumb? Verse 6 says, "But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root." So let's go back to verse 5 for a second. Verse 5 unveiled a captivating analogy comparing the planting of seeds in hardened and inhospitable soil to the downfall of human hearts consumed by sin. Just as these seeds sown in unyielding ground face immense challenges, assaults from predatory birds and scorching heat of the sun, leading to withering and drought, so too do the seeds of the gospel encounter adversity when confronted with hearts that are unreceiving, rocky, and lacking the necessary nourishing soil for growth. As we dive deeper into the profound teachings of the scripture, let us consider verse 6, building upon the valuable insights we have gained from verses 4 and 5. and the preceding verses, we came to understand that attempting to transform an individual with a hardened heart solely through our words may prove to be a grueling task. Such a person entrenched in the depths of sin, ensnared by the grasp of Satan, requires a divine intervention from God himself. A miraculous touch upon their life in order for any seed of truth to take root and flourish. Basically, we can't do it alone. Now consider this thought-provoking question. What if we find ourselves devoid of the metaphorical green thumb required to cultivate flourishing plants or to properly articulate the Word of God? It is precisely at this time that the teachings of Jesus come to our aid, lighting the path forward. He has bestowed upon us the clear instructions, urging us to sow seeds of his truth far and wide, irrespective of the prevailing soil conditions. Okay? With unwavering faith, he has entrusted us with the divine task of scattering the Word of God, the good news of salvation, throughout the world. In doing so, we can rest assured that God himself will orchestrate the rest. He will water the seeds we have sown. So we don't need to worry about if we have a green thumb or not. Okay, in real life, green thumb helps. When it comes to God, we just need to throw the seed. Doesn't matter who you are, where you are, what kind of soil, what kind of heart, just throw that seed out there. Okay? As we reflect upon the profound wisdom contained within verse 6, let us be bold and go out and scatter the seeds of God's truth with boundless enthusiasm and unwavering faith. Trusting that the soil of every human heart has the potential to bear fruit when touched by the divine hand. Our role, though seemingly insignificant at times, becomes an integral part of God's redemptive plan as we join in the divine collaboration of sowing seeds, witnessing their growth and ultimately rejoicing in the abundant harvest of transformed lives. It doesn't matter if we don't think we have the proverbial green thumb or not. Our job is to go out and sow or plant the seeds. God will do the rest. We are the farmers. Just like the real world, farmers and gardeners in this room this morning, you go out every spring and plant the seeds in your garden or prune your trees. But ultimately, God makes them grow. So what about the weeds? Well, we need to do some weeding. Verse 7. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. So let's take a moment and reflect on these words. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear grain. Okay? Well, you gardeners out there, you farmers, what do you do with weeds? You get rid of them, right? Pretty simple. So what do we need to do with the thorns and weeds that grow up in our lives that keep us from planting the seeds of God's grace? We need to get rid of them. Pull them out. Pluck them. Go burn them. In these few simple words lies a powerful metaphor of our lives and the choices we make. Just as the seeds fall among different types of soil, so do we encounter various circumstances and influences that can either nurture our growth or hinder our progress. The thorns in this story represent the distractions, temptations, and cares of this world that can entangle us and prevent us from fulfilling our true potential, just as they do in a garden. They can take many forms: materialism, addiction, pride, even the pursuit of empty pleasures. These thorns slowly wrap around our hearts and minds, suffocating our dreams, hope, and aspirations. And this doesn't just apply to the seeds. They can apply to the sower, too. If we have thorn bushes wrapped around our hearts and minds, then we cannot effectively go out and sow the seed of God like we are meant to do. And Jesus mentions this elsewhere. In Matthew 5:30, he says, "And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go to hell." Now, there's more to that if you want to read. That's just the last part of that. But it's saying the same thing. If something is causing you to stumble, get rid of it. As we navigate life, it's important to recognize these thorns for what they are. They may appear attractive and promising, but their true nature is revealed when they hinder our growth and prevent us from bearing the fruit we are meant to produce. They distract us from our purpose, leaving us unfulfilled and devoid of the abundant life we were meant to experience. There is hope, however. We have the power to cultivate the soil of our lives and remove the thorns that threaten our growth. It requires awareness, being deliberate, and a willingness to make difficult choices. We must examine our priorities, values, and the influences we allow in our lives. We must be willing to go out, let go of the things that hinder our spiritual, emotional, and personal development. We must do the weeding in our own lives before we can sow the seeds in other people's lives. Ultimately, this parable reminds us we have the choice in how we live our lives. We can allow the thorns of the world to choke our growth, or we can diligently remove them and tend to the seeds of our goodness within. It is through this conscious effort and reliance on the Word of God that we can overcome the challenges and distractions that threaten to hinder us. Let's take these words to heart. For example, or let's examine our lives and identity. Sorry. Spell check didn't do a very good job on that one. let's examine our lives and identify the thorns that hinder our progress. And with determination of faith, let us nurture the seeds of goodness within us, allowing them to flourish and bear abundant fruit. May we all strive to live lives that are free from choking thorns and full of grace and blessing. Blessings that come from aligning lives with our true purpose. Amen. All right, so now that we've done the weeding, what comes next? We've done the weeding. Now we've got a good soil to work with. Okay? We got rid of the weeds, got rid of the rocks. So now we can work on a bumper crop. Verse 8. Still other seeds fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. In this verse, Jesus is telling us of a sower who scattered seeds. Jesus is telling us about a sower that scattered seeds on good soil. These seeds sprouted, grew, and bore a rich harvest, multiplying 30, 60, and even 100-fold. At this part of the parable, the seeds represent the Word of God, the divine message of love, grace, and truth. And we, brothers and sisters, are the soil and the farmers. Our hearts and minds are the fertile ground in which the seeds of God's Word are sown. The condition of our soil determines whether we will receive and bear fruit from the Word. Let's think on the good soil mentioned in the parable. What makes this soil different? What qualities does it possess that allow the seeds to take root and produce a bountiful harvest? The good soil represents a heart that is open, receptive, and willing to receive the Word of God. It is a heart that is not hardened by doubt, indifference, or distraction. The good soil is characterized by humanity. It recognizes its need for spiritual nourishment and willingness to surrender to the transformative power of God's truth. It is a soil that seeks understanding, that asks questions, and that seeks a deeper relationship with the divine. It is a soil that longs to grow, to flourish, and to bear fruit. But what does it mean to bear fruit? The parable tells us that some seeds multiplied 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. This reminds us that each one of us has a unique capacity to reflect and share the Word of God. Our gifts, talents, and resources are like the fruit that the good soil produces. Bearing fruit is not just about personal growth. It's about making positive impact on the world, and it's about sharing the love, kindness, and compassion that God has bestowed upon us. It is about being a source of light, hope, and love in the world that often feels dark and despairing. This parable also reminds us that it is not uniform. Some seeds yield 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. This teaches us that our individual journeys may differ in the impact we make. But what truly matters is that we strive to be faithful stewards of the seeds we have received. It is not about the quantity of our harvest, but about the quality of our character and the sincerity of our efforts. And even though it is not about the quantity, if you have good soil to sow your seeds, you are going to have a bumper crop compared to what you would have if you let the weeds take over. So let's examine the condition of our hearts today. As we cultivate good soil within ourselves, are we nurturing our relationship with God and allowing His Word to take root in our lives? Are we bearing fruit and sharing the blessing we have received? Let's remember that we have the potential to be like good soil, to grow and bear fruit that can transform lives. Let us strive to be open, receptive, and humble so that the seeds of God may find a fertile dwelling within us. And as we do so, may our lives become a testimony to the power and grace of God, multiplying 30, 60, and even 100-fold. So verse 9, the last verse in this parable, says, "Then Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." These instructions not only emphasize the universal reach of God's message, but also express a profound truth. A role as faithful messengers is not dependent upon our personal abilities or the open-mindedness of those we encounter. It is an invitation to become vessels of God's grace, conduits through which His transformative power flows. Our duty is to obediently proclaim the gospel, sowing the seeds of hope, love, and redemption. In the knowledge that God's sovereignty extends beyond our limitations and that He works wonders even in the most improbable circumstances. In our daily life, we encounter countless number of hearts and souls, each having unique characteristics and challenges. Some may possess hearts that are calloused, seemingly impenetrable to the seeds we sow. Others may exhibit traits that render them seemingly inhospitable to the gospel's message. But yet, armed with the assurance of God's words, we are called to persevere in our mission, not deterred by discouragement or be disheartened by apparent setbacks. Instead, we must press forward with unwavering dedication, knowing that the transformative power of God's word holds the potential to soften even the hardest of hearts and foster growth where it seems most or least likely. So as I mentioned in the beginning, I have a friend that has a hardened heart, and I would put him in the thorn category. He refuses to listen, or used to, about anything I had to say about Jesus and His saving grace. So does that mean I've given up on him? Absolutely not. And I've had some people say that I'm setting myself up for failure, especially in my own walk with God. But the reason I don't give up on him is because I believe that's not what God wants me to do. And the reason is because when I first started talking to him about God, he would just shut me down. But over time, his heart has softened. He still refuses to come to church. He still doesn't want to talk very much about religion or God. But he will at least have a conversation with me at this point. And not too long ago, he admitted that I could be right. And in my book, that's progress. There's one other example that I want to give of why we should not give up on anybody. And that example is me. If my friends and family had given up on me, I wouldn't be standing here today. For 38 years of my life, my soil was being choked out by thorns. I could hear what other people were saying, I could hear what my grandma was saying, both my grandmas. I could hear what my parents were saying. But as soon as something took root, Satan and his weeds choked everything out. So don't get discouraged. It might take some time. It might take a lot longer than you think. You will run into rocky soil or soil that has been overrun with weeds, whether it's your own or someone else's. But just remember, God can and does work miracles. You just have to have faith and not give up. So I just want to remind you, every morning when you get up, ask yourself one question. How's my dirt? Thank you.